Good evening, everyone, and welcome to It's a Don Deal. I'm your host, Headmaster Don. Perhaps you've heard of me with the Radio Free Cybertron cast, and here's my producer and Lord and Master, Brian Kilby.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Don. I got promoted. Did you hear that?
Hey, that's all the responsibility, Brian.
Well, there's no money involved. You're doing it for exposure.
Okay, there you go. You are my most famous friend, so... Hey, so if you are watching live and you want to participate on It's a Don Deal, you can ask us a question in the chat. Hopefully I can catch it. Lately we've had Jason here who is helping me out, and right now I'm going on no sleep hardly. So, but if you want to call in, call us at 931-99-GO-BOT. That's 931-994-6268. If you call and you hear us talking on the other end, you're the next caller. Hang on until we say that you're on the air. And once I say that, you can start talking. Tell us what you want. That's it. Simple as that. Don, proceed.
Yes. All right. Want to give a shout out again to the people in our chat last week, our live chat that we have on every Wednesday at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time for Radio Free Cybertron, for letting us know that Toy Dojo did have in the Wave 3 Terracons. I sincerely appreciate it. And I will be able to now enjoy Abominus without worrying about distribution drama. So I sincerely appreciate that. And again, I hope everyone was able to snag a copy. And if not, good luck to everyone. So be sure to help everybody out. If you happen to find some, an online store that has some, or when they start showing up in person, cross your fingers. Be sure to help out your fellow collectors.
Wave 2 has to show up first.
Well, at this point, back when Combiner Wars was happening, there were areas that never got the Combaticon wave. I mean, there are people that I know that it went right from wave 2. I think Combaticons were wave 3, and went right to wave 4, which I think was the Prowl and Sunstreaker wave, if I'm remembering correctly.
Oh boy.
So I know people online that never saw a Combaticon wave. So there's that. John, do you have anything for me?
I sure do. The buy or sell to kick off episode 3. What is this? Brian keeps 4. Recording. Brian records It's Don Deals. It doesn't guarantee that you, the listener, hears them. I'll just put that out there. Just letting you know. This could be episode 7 or 8. You don't know.
Unless you're at tfradio.net/live on Wednesday night for the recording session, in which case you're guaranteed to hear the episode, whether it goes out afterward or not.
Yeah, whether you like it
or not. I only didn't post one because it was horrible.
We're not sure about that. I mean, that's what you say.
It was horrible.
Like, that's the line. That's the official line. Anyway, buy or sell, Don, the Bumblebee teaser trailer.
Buy. Again, I'm not trying to be overly optimistic after being burned for the last 6 times, but the trailer presented me with much more coherent design structure, enough to get me interested, but not like giving away the whole, you know, the whole planet there. But tighter designs, and some surprises, with that being Starscream or Ramjet or whoever it's supposed to be. That was an unexpected surprise because I expected to see Barricade, and we did not see that in the teaser. So, again, that's something, but I think it could be, at the very least, again, I'm not big into Star Wars. I haven't been for a long time. I'm thinking this Bumblebee movie could be like the Solo movie. You know, it's a good story in and of itself. It's just not going to be a very weighty movie as far as being the linchpin of which the axis of the whole franchise turns. But I think it could be a really good movie. And I think it could have some really good toys if they can translate what we're seeing on screen to the actual toys themselves. So here's hoping for that.
I love it, Don, unconditionally. So I'm with Team Don on this one. No disclaimers or caveats or ifs, ands, or buts. I love that trailer with all my heart, all my blackened late 30s heart. And I'm totally in. I'm going to predict it's going to be so good. That movie's going to be so good, and it's going to outperform their expectations that it's going to wreck whatever plans they have for the movies going forward. They scrapped everything after the last Bay movie, and Bumblebee became something else. But I think Bumblebee's going to outperform to the point where they're going to have to rejigger it again. So for better or worse, I think Hasbro's going to have to go back to the drawing board because Bumblebee's going to be such a hit. I'm also a rabid fan of John Cena in movies. He's amazing in everything he's been in. And he's a really funny actor too, on top of stuff. So I don't know if he's going to be like straight up tough guy or ironically tough guy or what have you. But anyway, 10% John Cena in your movie is 100% awesome with me. Buy or sell, Bumblebee will kiss Starscream on the lips.
That will be a sell because I don't think that's going to happen.
What a downer. Okay, let's see here. Buy or sell number three, Trace. Julio Ignacio. Buy or sell. Marvel Legends style figures based on Pretender shells. So based on the dudes. Mm-hmm. Yay or nay?
John, can you repeat that, please?
Basically, we had a Kickstarter on this a couple times.
Okay.
But you're free to buy or sell all over again. So the idea of Marvel Legends style figures, right? Okay, so Marvel style, Marvel Legends fellas.
Right.
But in the design and in the look and feel of the Pretender shell characters, basically we're asking, like, do you remember the Kickstarter a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Are you buying or selling, like, attempt number three or four on that?
Well, I would buy, but it would be just getting the shell by itself without the robot is kind of like a half homage. Because, I mean, you know who the character is supposed to be, both shell and robot, but you're only getting a shell. Unless it included like a fixed posed figure of the robot so you could display them together, but that's still not, it's still really not enough. I would like to see new Pretenders with new technology. As we mentioned before, you know, the concept of Pretenders and Action Masters now is not this strange and weird entity that it was when it premiered back in the 80s. We're used to the concept. We've seen it implemented in different situations. So I think it can be done, but just the shells themselves would seem like too little, to be honest.
Interesting. Hey, real quick, I want to go back to the half joke, I guess, of Bumblebee kissing Starscream. One, Bumblebee doesn't have a mouth, so it's just going to be really awkward. But I would like, in all seriousness, some kind of robot-to-robot affection or emotion or attachment between robots, because anything would be better than just bloodthirsty murderous intent between all the Transformers, which I think is all we've ever gotten. I can't remember. Hey, Don, can you remember in any of the Bay movies, like, robots like earnestly or legitimately liking each other, not necessarily romantically, but like effectively at all?
Bumblebee and Optimus.
Was that earnest, or was that like an abuse? Was that fear? Did Bumblebee like his head attached to his body? Is that why he liked Optimus Prime? I'm not sure.
He talked, and that took Nemesis Prime out of the trance and brought Optimus Prime forward.
That's right.
That's as close as you can get. It's not much, but
We'll take it after like 11 years.
Yeah,
like we have one thing, a thing. Hey, Don.
Yes.
So be honest with me. You've always been a fan of like strong female characters in Transformers fiction. That alone has got to earn you. That alone must mean like major robot points for you in the Bumblebee movie, right? Because we have like a strong female lead. It's a buddy movie.
It's not really that. It's just seeing good characters get the focus, and it's basically just, it really makes me angry when you've got a group of characters and they work together as a group. They achieve the goal as a group, But when it comes to the toys or the media or whatever the case may be, they're completely left out. It's like, you know, that's one reason that made me so mad about asking about RC is she was a movie character. She was a very important in season three. She was very important in Rebirth. Yet we never got a character. That's what made me start the whole thing. So it's not just a strong female character. It's a strong character in general, not being given the same treatment in either media or advertising or in toys as the rest of the people from that series.
So, okay.
You know, that's, you know,
relating back to the Marvel Legends idea, Insane Galvatron asks, his buy or sell is the concept of Transformers Build-A-Figures. They could figure that out. I think that's combiners. But if they could figure out a Build-A-Figure kind of like, you know, packaging, you know what I'm saying, chopping up a figure, yeah, spraying it across a line, are you buying or selling?
I'll buy that because there are characters from the series that did not transform. I saw this in the chat earlier. Autobot Spike, Nightbird, Deceptotran from Sea Change, Slizardo from the Gambler, you know, Captain Vosh again from the Gambler. So you've got a lot of characters from the cartoon that this would be a way to get their representation. The problem is some of those characters are so minor. That's so G1. You have to ask, could you make the characters that these parts come with be so viable that this is where they would get the character. They would want the character, or would it be you buy these great figures and all the parts go on eBay?
I think Transmutate was a success or a failure, because that's what that was.
I think it was a success for fans to be able to get Transmutate, but with Beast Wars being overshadowed in overall focus from this current design team and from the toy companies, because we saw Hasbro's answer to Beast Wars Anniversary. I think you know it would do well if it was a major push to back it up with other media and things like that. I think the concept has merit. It's just the characters that you could put in there couldn't transform as the Build-A-Figure, and I'm not sure how much. I'm not sure how many figures you can get that would fit that concept and be strong enough to make the whole wave, you know, a buyable thing versus, like I said, you buy the figures you want and you put the parts on eBay.
Okay. Before we kind of close by ourselves for the week, I do want to do something rapid fire. This might be fun. And anybody else on the show can jump into with a buy or sell, but I'm going to go rapid fire, Don. I'm going to name Transformers, mostly G1 stuff, but Transformers stuff in general, just like things. Mm-hmm. And you say buy or sell if you think they will make a cameo of some kind or a reference of some kind in the Bumblebee movie. Okay. Follow me? You ready?
Yeah. Okay.
Rub signs.
Sell.
Headmaster.
Sell.
A literal G1 toy.
Buy.
Yeah, they got to have that. Let's see here. A reference to the 1986 movie.
Buy.
A reference to Beast Wars.
Buy. Because if they make a reference to it in the Bumblebee movie, that could open the door for anything future Beast Wars by establishing it now as just as a throwaway line. But it could be a seed for the future buried in the past.
Okay. All right. A reference to, or no, erase that. Let me just put it out there. Megatron.
Buy.
Optimus Prime.
Buy.
Hot Rod.
Sell.
And the last one, RC.
Sell.
I think Hot Rod may get a reference
of some kind. Maybe he's the G1 toy. I don't know. I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Real last one. For real. Unicron.
Buy. because they can always put, like, say Bumblebee's at a computer terminal and he's downloading schematics for something, and he runs across star chart, and he runs across star charts, and someone has photographed some. I'm just saying, but someone has photographed something that if you freeze frame it, it looks like Unicron. If you know what you're looking for, so. You know, it wouldn't surprise me again just as to name drop something that may come up later on in a rebooted franchise. It's possible.
Hey, so let's go ahead and go to the chat questions this week. We have quite a few, so we can't take any more at this point. And let's move to a question by our pal Insane Galvatron. What does Don think of Transformers-based model kits that are basically the G1 toys that come on properly colored sprues? Think Botcon custom class, but G1 molds and available at retail.
I think marketed correctly, that could be something that would really take off with the modeling community. We know that Gundam is very hit or miss in the U.S. There's a huge following in the U.S., but not really for the models, I don't think. That's why you don't see. You'll see them in specialty stores, and even some Barnes & Nobles carry them, but it's not a huge amount. If you put a property like Transformers out there as easy snap together, you know, level one snap together, no paint, no glue, molded and color kits, you know, that you could hit your Lego builders who might want something different. You could hit your Gundam people that like doing the kits. You can hit, you know, your casual fan, the father buying something for him and his son or daughter to do together of a character they like. I think there's a lot of potential if it's marketed right and not power core combinered.
Boo.
Where they just
those create awesome.
Yeah, they were awesome, but there was no focused marketing effort about that, and I think that's part of what killed the line. So I think that would really work. It's just, if it takes off too well, that might open the door for Bandai to start doing more with Gundam. So you could be inviting competition, because you're basically saying, you know, we can do something with our characters that you really can't do in the U.S. and nah, nah, nah. And it's like, oh, no, here, hold my beer. And then Bandai starts cracking their knuckles and getting busy.
Cool. Okay, so next question. This is from Facebook. Joey Roy Filbert asks, hi, guys. Love the show. Have a question. Is Megatron or Brawl available for the studio series yet? I'm located in Canada, and I can't find any of them. So I was just wondering if the production is still ongoing for the studio series.
I have seen several reviewers on YouTube that live in the Pacific Rim countries already doing reviews for them. And one of our people in our chat earlier mentioned they got studio series Brawl off Amazon, but the box was crushed. So apparently they are trickling out on Amazon. I don't know if it's at standard real retail or markup to retail. I don't know how much who's paid for what. But it is apparently continuing because they are being found in Singapore and, again, the Pacific Rim countries, and reviews are being done. I've watched a review on Jazz, Megatron, and Brawl. I don't plan on getting any of them but Jazz, but I have seen the reviews and they look pretty good. So your best bet is just, you know, check your Amazon. Yes, Chris.
There are limited sightings in the United States at Walmart for Brawl and Megatron as of this week.
I had not heard of that. I'm sorry. Thank you.
I'm not aware of any in Canada yet, though.
Cool. From our pal Dinobot Maximize. With the popularity of the Lego game, would a Creo game for Transformers be worth it? Maybe in the same style. I know the answer to this one.
I would like to say yes, okay. But I've got a feeling Lego would really, really discourage that. I don't know why. It just seems like that's getting a little too close to Lego's comfort zone with the kind of massive library of Lego games they have out there. Then all of a sudden, someone does a Creo brick based game. It might be fun. I mean, you could have the G.I. Joe Creos and the Transformer Creos and the whatever. You know, you could have all that interacting like you do in the Lego universe with all their different properties. But I just got a feeling that's going to cause a lot of people to take a look and say, I don't think we can let you do that.
So
I could be wrong, but that's maybe it.
So what I will call the real answer, what sells worse than Creo? A Creo-based video game. They would sell two copies.
No, I mean, if you do it the right way, like, you know, it's past the Wii U era, but if they had done it as just like Wii U shovelware for like $25, like, I think it would copies. Probably. Yeah, but when they only put $250 into it, they're making their money back.
Yeah. I am going to talk about Masterpiece. I'm going to talk about third-party Masterpiece. We've discussed this on the show here, and a lot of places have talked about this, about how the 84, 85, 86 well is going to dry up. I'm talking about leaving money on the table is these third parties are need to look at late Euro G1 and G2. And the reason I'm saying that is because there are a lot of fans out there, maybe not for the colors that they originally in, but they're there for the figures themselves. Like, there's a lot of good figures in that line you could give a more standard paint job to, and you could have a similar character. Like, you could have, I don't know, the Trekkons, one of the Lightformers, Iron Fist, could be Ironhide with, like, his heavy-duty cannon, things like that. There's such an untapped market in the Euro G1 mold designs, like we're seeing with Thunderclash now from Mastermind Creations, that there are people who have never dealt with these characters, never dealt with these kind of molds, never dealt with these color schemes. So, and I'm relating this back to Toy World to start off with. Toy World was the first person to come to market with a Masterpiece-esque RC. They had the chance to make a definitive RC that everybody would want for their shelves, either a movie shelf, post-movie shelf, season 3, whatever the case may be. And they completely botched it. They completely and it was an utterly failed toy. And they lost an opportunity to make the definitive version of that character that a lot of people were wanting. And that left the door wide open for fans toys to come in with Rouge, I should say, and have a much better figure. A third-party company like Planet X has found their niche doing War and Fall of Cybertron designs, and they've been well-received. I think the first third-party that steps up and gives us a solid G2 and Euro G1, because, again, In Europe, there's kind of a blending of the two. So it's all one mixed aesthetic. But if they come in with solid characters and solid molds, there's plenty of repay potential into even more regular characters. But let's take one that a lot of people like, and I think Chris will back me up on this. Cyberjets. Cyberjets are fun little toys. They look great. They pose well. They're relatively inexpensive, loose. If you want something to fiddle with, they're really great designs. A lot of interesting designs. So a third party company, not only could they make three different molds and get six Cyberjets from them, you could recolor them into G1 characters if you wanted to give the Seekers a new look. You could make other characters like Darkwing and Dreadwing out of a Cyberjet mold. So there's a lot of repaint potential from, say, three different molds to not just hit the G2 aesthetic, but to hit a G1 aesthetic, or you can look at other characters from other continuities. Mm-hmm. Someone needs to step up and look at these designs, because these toys are not cheap. Euro G1 toys are not cheap, and a lot of them have gold plastic issues. So a lot of collectors would probably want a nice third-party Colossus or a nice third-party, I'm blanking on the other, Pyro, that doesn't have these gold plastic issues as part of their collection. Plus, you've got the repaint potential. So I think a third-party, I know it's a chance, but with the amount of repaint potential that you have, plus an untapped market, I think these third-party companies are leaving money on the table by not taking a look at Generation 2. And that's a Don deal.
It's a Done Deal is a Radio Free Cybertron podcast production.